all. What's the use of trying not to fall? I have no will.
Oh, you made your kill, 'cause you took advantage of me.
I'm just like an apple on a bough, and you're gonna shake me down somehow. So what's the use? You cook my goose,
'cause you took advantage of me.
I'm so hot and bothered that I don't know
my elbow from my ear.
Suffer something awful each time you go,
much worse when you're near.
Here I am with all my bridges burned, just a babe in arms where you're concerned. So lock the doors and call me yours,
'cause you took advantage of me.
Welcome to the Jazz Treasury. My name is Rich Sylvester. Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of the Jazz Treasury, where we'll be hearing a little bit about the big band voices of Frank Sinatra, Ella Fitzgerald, Billy Eckstine, Peggy Lee, and Anita O'Day. That first track you heard was from Bing Crosby back in 1928, singing with the Paul Whiteman Orchestra in New York City. When you draw up a list of the great singers of classic American song, such as Frank Sinatra, Peggy Lee, Ella Fitzgerald, Billy Eckstine, all the others, look them up in a reference book, and two facts instantly jump out. The overwhelming majority were born around 1920, and they all began their careers as dance band vocalists. They were part of the first generation to grow up with radio. Almost from birth, they were surrounded by the melodies and lyrics of Jerome Kern, Cole Porter, Rodgers and Hart, the Gershwins, a vast, rich, and growing collection that would later be dubbed the Great American Songbook. And throughout their childhood and early youth, virtually all popular music echoed the beat and sound of jazz, and they learned to recognize instantly the voices of their favorite singers, such as Bing Crosby, Connie Boswell, Louis Armstrong, and Ruth Etting. Then, just as they were approaching adulthood, the great irresistible wave of the swing era broke, and it seemed that the only thing in the world more glamorous than dancing to a big swinging band was to become a member of one. All bands and singers, usually a boy and a girl, and some also carried vocal groups such as Tommy Dorsey's Pied Pipers and Glenn Miller's Modern Airs. The main attraction, though, was not so much the singers as the band, and the band leader in particular. This may seem strange today, after more than half a century of popular music dominated by vocals. But in the 1930s, dancing was the favorite social activity. A 16-piece dance orchestra provided both music and a visual feast, with the ranks of brass and saxophones, the drummer high on the perch in the back, and the uniforms, the lights, and dominating the whole scene, the leader himself. Well, let's listen to one of those singers that stepped forward a little bit. Frank Sinatra. Let's listen to a little Frank Sinatra with Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra. Everything Happens to Me, recorded in New York City in 1941. Some early Frank here on the Jazz Treasury.
Cats creep across my path until I'm almost mad. I must have roused the devil's wrath, 'cause all my luck is bad. I make a date for golf, and you can bet your life it rains. I try to give a party, but the guy upstairs complains. I guess I'll go through life just catching colds and missing trains. Everything happens to me. I never miss a thing. I've had the measles and the mumps, and every time I play an ace, my partner always trumps. I guess I'm just a fool who never looks before he jumps. Everything happens to me. At first my heart thought you could break this jinx for me, that love would turn the trick to end despair. But now I just can't fool this head that thinks for me. So I've mortgaged all my castles in the air. I've telegraphed and phoned, sent an airmail special too. Your answer was goodbye. There was even postage due. I fell in love just once, and then it had to be with you. Everything happens to me. I've never drawn a sweepstake or a bank night at a show. I thought perhaps this time I'd won, but Lady Luck said no. And though it breaks my heart, I'm not surprised to see you go. Everything happens to me. Everything happens to me.
Frank Sinatra with Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra. Everything Happens to Me. Notice first how much more orchestral Dorsey's band sounds than all the others. The most prominent instrument in their introduction, for example, is a bass clarinet, and the only standard combination of instruments throughout is the trumpet section in mutes. This is all done to give Sinatra's beautiful, seamless voice the best possible setting. The arranger is Axel Stordahl, who went on to provide Sinatra's accompaniments when he first went solo. The singer's function in all this was to bring variety and a change of pace to the proceedings, and to entertain those who happened not to be dancing at the time. When they were not singing, they moved out of the spotlight. In the 1920s, band singers were sometimes given instruments to hold, so they looked like a proper band member. By the mid-1930s, they had their own place, sitting at the side of the stage and walking forward to a microphone to take their vocal choruses. The life of a band singer was one long battle against catching cold and losing one's voice. Staying healthy was made especially difficult by the big band's touring lifestyle. When the bus was due to leave, Peggy Lee remembered, I would pack my laundry, wet or dry, and hope I wouldn't catch cold because of my wet hair. Yet almost without exception, singers speak about their early days with the band with affection. Although it has to be said, the men seem to have had a better time of it than the women. All right, speaking of women and fabulous singers, how about some Ella Fitzgerald? Ella Fitzgerald and her orchestra, 5 O'Clock Whistle, recorded in New York City in 1940. Let's listen to a little Ella on the Jazz Treasury.
The 5 o'clock whistle's on the blink. The whistle won't blow, and what do you think? My papa's still in the factory, 'cause he don't know what time it happens to be. The 5 o'clock whistle didn't blow. The whistle is broken, what do you know? If somebody don't find out what's wrong, oh, my papa'll be working all night long. Oh, who's gonna fix the whistle? Won't somebody fix the whistle? Oh, who's gonna fix the whistle? So my poor old papa'll know it's time for him to stop. You ought to hear what my mommy said when papa came home and sneaked into bed and told her he worked till 2:30, 'cause the 5 o'clock whistle never blew. ¶¶ fix the whistle? Won't somebody fix the whistle? Oh, who's gonna fix the whistle so my poor old pop will know it's time for him to stop? You ought to hear what my papa said when he sneaked into bed. He said, baby, oh baby, I really work till 2:30, 'cause the 5 o'clock whistle never blew.
You're listening to the Jazz Treasury Podcast with Rich Sylvester.
5 o'clock whistle. If one band scored a hit with a song, others rushed to get their own versions out. Glenn Miller had the original hit with this, quickly followed by Ella, Erskine Hawkins, and even Duke Ellington, with vocal by Ivy Anderson. It is the kind of catchy, inconsequential tune that the young Ella always did very well. Her orchestra was in fact Chick Webb's band. The drummer had died suddenly the previous year. So there's no point in being a singer if you cannot be heard. Opera singers can be heard above the sound of a full orchestra because they develop, through rigorous training, a special technique for projecting their voices. Musical comedy performers use similar methods, and so did vaudeville or music hall artists. Their audiences, though, are all, at least theoretically, sitting still and quiet. The early dance bands had to make enough noise to be heard over the cheerful din of people having a good time, and this made life for the singers very difficult. In an effort to get themselves heard, some early band members performed through megaphones, which helped a little, but not much. The only alternative was to make the audience shut up. It is impossible to gauge just how much the singers of the next generation were inspired by these and other pioneers, but they certainly heard them through the medium of radio. A glance at the birthplaces of the new generation shows how widely scattered they were, often in places remote from any center of live entertainment, such as North Dakota, Peggy Lee, Ohio, Doris Day, or Oklahoma, Kay Starr. When these women joined a band, they left behind these humble backgrounds with their old names. All right, let's move on to one, not a household name, but definitely deserves to be heard, is Billy Eckstein, very influential jazz musician. And this is Billy Eckstein with Earl Hines and his orchestra. You don't know what love is. Let's listen to Billy Eckstein with Earl Hines and his orchestra doing You Don't Know What Love Is, 1941, New York City.
Until you've loved a love you've had to lose, you don't know what love is. You don't know how lips hurt until you've kissed and had to pay the cost. Until you flipped your heart and you have lost, you don't know what love is. Do you know how a lost heart feels? The thought of taste of tears lose their taste for kissing. You don't know hearts burn. For love that cannot live, it never dies. Until you faced each dawn with sleepless eyes, you don't know. Cannot live, yet never dies. Until you faced each dawn with sleepless eyes, you don't know.
Was Billy Eckstein, 1941, singing with Earl Hines and his orchestra as an example of the way in which the Great American Songbook constantly acquired new material throughout this period. Take this beautiful ballad. When Eckstein recorded his version, it was current pop, featured in the morale-boosting wartime movie Keep 'Em Flyin'. Records such as this laid the foundations for his later success as a heartthrob. Hines takes a most peculiar four-bar piano solo, completely at odds with everything else. The crucial years seems to have been 1942 to 1943. This was when the Sinatra generation emerged from band backgrounds into fully-fledged stardom. Most of them made it into movies, and the list of musical films with familiar names above the title tells its own story. Reveille with Beverly, Higher and Higher, Frank Sinatra, Springtime in the Rockies, Helen Forrest, Panama Haiti, Stormy Weather, Cabin in the Sky, Lena Horne, and so on. For many, their first encounter with the job of band singer was traumatic. This was certainly the case with Peggy Lee, thrust into the spotlight with Benny Goodman, without preparation, nor even a proper rehearsal. The first night with Benny, I remember singing My Old Flame. The critics were cruel. They captioned a photo of me in Downbeat magazine, Sweet 16, and will never be missed. She was actually 21. I had a cold, and I was singing in Helen Forrest's key. I went to Benny and said, I'd like to quit, please. He just looked at me and said, I won't let you. Well, Peggy Lee, speaking of Peggy Lee, let's listen to one of her tracks. And we'll listen to Peggy Lee with the Benny Goodman Orchestra, called Elmer's Tune, recorded in Chicago, 1941. Let's listen to Peggy Lee with Benny Goodman on the Jazz Treasury.
Missing, singing, swinging, any
Peggy's weekly salary was $75, by no means lavish, even for 1941, and she had to pay for her own room and board, but the job was an invaluable apprenticeship that would make hers the golden generation. They worked on equal terms with musicians and learned to think like musicians. They rehearsed with the band and learned their nuts and bolts of how their kind of music worked. A song was not just a tune with words. It was also a complex structure of harmony, rhythm, and dynamics. In their mature, later careers, former band singers, even fairly obscure ones, sang with authority. Their simple, clear phrases swung around the beat, pulling at it, leaning on it, and never interrupting it. Let's listen to a little Anita O'Day with Gene Krupa and his orchestra. If you're new to jazz, Gene Krupa is a fabulous drummer. Did some good drum battles with Buddy Rich back in the early days of jazz. But Gene Krupa had a great, great orchestra. And this is him playing with Anita O'Day. In 1945 in New York City, let's listen to Tea for Two on the Jazz Treasury.
Picture me upon your lid, tea for two and two for tea. Can't you see how happy we could be? There's nobody near us to see us or hear us. No friends, relations on weekend vacations. We won't have it known, we own a telephone. Dawn will break and you will wait for me to bake a sugar cake for you to take for all the boys to see. We could raise a family, boy for you, girl for me. Can't you see how happy we're gonna be? Me upon your knee with tea for two, tea for tea. Can't you see how happy we're gonna be? There will be nobody near us to see us or hear us. No friends, relations on us. Weekend vacations won't have it known. We on a telephone, dear. Dawn will break. For me to bake a little sugar cake, for you to take for all the boys to see. We'd raise family, boy for you and the girl for me. Can't you see how happy we would be?
And that was Tea for Two, Anita O'Day. The sheer delicious incongruity of singer and song makes this a memorable piece. Anita O'Day, at 26, has the voice of a woman who has seen and done everything at least twice. The very idea of her baking a sugar cake is simply bizarre. She was filmed 13 years later at the Newport Jazz Festival performing the same song while dressed for a royal garden party. There are some party touches of bebop in her phrasing and choices of notes here. All right, just about coming to the end of the Jazz Treasury, doing big band voices on this episode, but I can't let this episode go without doing one more track, and that's from Jimmy Rushing playing with Count Basie. Great combination. Jimmy Rushing is a fabulous jazz singer. Let's listen to Jimmy Rushing with Count Basie and his orchestra doing Baby, Don't Tell on Me. New York City, 1939. That's Jimmy Rushing with Count Basie. Well, thanks again for tuning in to the Jazz Treasury. Learn a little bit about jazz every month. Some recommended listening for you to look into in the future. How about Martha Tilton with Benny Goodman and his orchestra and The Angels Sing, 1938. Helen O'Connell and Bob Eberle with Jimmy Dorsey and his orchestra. Green Eyes, 1941. Ella Johnson with Buddy Johnson and his orchestra. Since I Fell for You, 1945, and Little Jimmy Scott with Lionel Hampton and his orchestra, I Wish I Knew, from 1950. Well, thanks for tuning into this episode once again. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for rating us. Thanks for reviewing us. That gets us higher up on the iTunes scale. So please keep in touch through Facebook. Next time on the Jazz Treasury, we are going into Paris. We're visiting a jazz city. We're visiting Paris next week. Paris has always been a home away from home for jazz musicians, whether just passing through, like Louis Armstrong and Coleman Hawkins, or settling down, like Bill Coleman. Under visiting professors such as these, the city's own jazz players graduated with first-class honors. Okay, until next time, enjoy the jazz.